Church, we started a series called Going All In. And when we started the series, we talked about how the disciples, the 12, went from cowering and running for their lives when Jesus was arrested in a garden to only a few days later, basically going all in for Jesus and ultimately dying for him. I mean, they were radical in their faith because of what they saw, because of what happened. I don't know if you can recall, if you're a follower of Jesus, the first time when you, I mean, when you really went all in for Jesus, when you really, you say, surrendered everything. And I do. Like, I remember after a couple drug rehabs and after going back to a local church and committing my life to Jesus, I would say I was all in. I would tell you I was even radical in my faith, doing things that maybe other people weren't doing. Like, I was working my job and I was in the corporate world and I kept my job and I thought, I'm going to just declare Jesus to anybody and everybody. And I had scripture up on my wall, and when people would come in, like reps would come in for a quality review, I'd give them their quality review, and I'd be like, this is what you're doing good, and this could be better. And by the way, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'd just throw it out there. Do you want to meet me at church on Sunday? Anyway, so yeah, you can get some trouble, but I didn't care. I was just going to tell them about Jesus. In fact, I remember going to church one Sunday, and one of the guys, they did some illustration. One of the guys had a shirt on with a picture of Jesus, kind of an abstract picture of Jesus' face. And I'm like, that is a cool shirt. I'm getting a shirt like that. And I got a shirt just like that. And I'm like, I'm wearing this shirt. I'm going to wear it where a lot of people are. And that particular week, we had the fair going on. A lot of people go to the fair. And I put my Jesus shirt on, and I went to the fair. And I can tell, people were looking at me weird. I'm just going to tell you. I was getting judged. And I don't know if fair people should, anyway, so I mean, one guy was looking at me like, I knew he was judging my shirt. And I thought, sir, you're wearing cowboy boots, like jean shorts, and a half shirt. I mean, you probably need to meet this gentleman on my shirt. And if you want to discuss him over some deep fried Oreos, I'm all in. But I would tell you, I was radical for my faith. I think I look back at that now, and I was a little bit weird for my faith. But I think if the disciples saw that, they'd be like, that's not only lame, but pretty tame when it comes to being radical. See, the first century believers, what was radical to us was normal to them. In fact, the words radical and normal for them would be synonymous. And here's what I believe as we close out a series called Going All In. I think there is a time when we need to throw caution to the wind. A time when we need to quit hedging our bets. A time when we literally need to go all in, because Jesus will settle for nothing less. This is what I believe. I appreciate Desiree and Rachel talking about the ways that we can serve our community. This is one way that we can go all in. Not just to hear about needs, but to meet them. And that button on our homepage, you'll see it. It's red. It's tornado relief. I really pray that maybe you've already clicked on it, but I know that my family and I, we're going to purchase goods to go give to this place over in Elkhorn. We're going to serve at one or more of those three other opportunities. And I really hope you will as well. And don't do it alone. Do it with your family. Do it with your group, like they said. But this, I mean, we can't just preach going all in and not be all in for our community. So I thank you in advance. And we'll keep that page updated so you know that. So with that said, there's a story. You're going to get two of them today. That's how much I love you. You're going to get two stories that link together, and you'll see how this happens. If you brought a Bible or a mobile app, go to Matthew 25. Matthew's the first book of what we call the New Testament, and Matthew 25:14 is where I'm going to begin. This story is about, I'll set it up. Jesus is telling a story, a parable. And he's describing the kingdom of heaven. And in this story, he illustrates what going all in looks like. Verse 14, Jesus speaking. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two to another, and one to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he's gone. And then he leaves. The servant who got the five bags began to invest the money, earn five more. The servant with the two bags, you could say, went all in with his silver, went to work, earned two more. But the servant who got the one bag of silver said, took the one bag, actually dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long period of time, verse 19, after a long period of time, the master returned from his trip, called them together to give an account for what they were given, to give a report for how they'd been blessed and what they did with it. The servant with whom he had trusted five bags of silver came forward, said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest. I've earned five more." How does the master respond? Full of praise. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done," the master said. "You've been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities." Let's celebrate together. The story is the same for the guy with the two. The guy with the two bags came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two and I invested it and I made two more." The master says the same thing. He's like, "Oh my God, this is awesome. Good, well done, good and faithful servant. I will bless you with more. Let's celebrate." And then in verse 25, we get to the gentleman who hid the money. Remember, he dug a hole. And he said, "I was afraid, master, I'd lose the money." Don't miss this. "I was afraid I would lose your money." See, at least he recognizes what he was given was never his. Just like everything we've been given isn't ultimately ours. "I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." And that's kind of a crazy statement, because he didn't lose it. Like, it's not like he, I mean, if you, you know, let's just face it. Say you go into a casino. If you go to a casino and you walk out with the same amount of money you walked in with, is that a win? It is a win. It is a win. Felicity, we'll talk later. But anyway, so it is a win, because a lot of people don't do that. So you would say, "Gosh, I did a good thing. Let's celebrate." Jesus wouldn't say that. Wicked? I'm surprised at this point when Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. I'm surprised Peter, and maybe he didn't, it just wasn't recorded, but Peter, you know, got in Jesus' face and said, "Jesus, come over here. You need to kind of back off a little bit. That's kind of harsh." But Jesus wouldn't think that. In fact, Jesus is the one telling the story. So you know he believes that to be true. Gosh, so here's the problem with the guy with the one bag. He wasn't willing to go all in. He didn't even ante up, let alone go all in. And that's the difference between fear and faith. Fear is holding on to what you have, digging a hole, just preserving it, playing it safe, keeping it cautious. See, this guy wasn't, instead of playing to win, he was playing not to lose. That's what he was doing. And Jesus calls him wicked and lazy. Again, the difference between fear and faith. Fear is playing it safe. But faith is pushing all your chips to the center of the table and trusting that God's got you. Trusting God with the results. That's exactly what Jesus asked a rich young ruler to do. Part two of our little scripture series here. We transition from Matthew 25 and three gentlemen who get three blessings. Two do it the correct way. One plays it safe. We transition to Mark 10 and we look at what we know as the rich young ruler. In verse 21, I need to set this up a little bit. This gentleman is blessed monetarily. He's blessed with possessions. He's blessed with money. And he knows it. What's so interesting about this story is he knows he's still missing something. Like, it's like he's saying to himself, "What am I still missing?" But you have everything. I mean, you have the houses. You have the cars. You have the... Well, there's not cars back then, but he would have had the boats, okay? The boats and the camels. He would have had all those things. But he knows something he knows he's missing something. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, what do I need to do to get to heaven? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, you know what he says? Jesus says, obey me. That's what he says. If you love me, you'll obey. And Jesus says, obey the commandments. And the guy comes right out and says, check, I've done it. I'm not stealing, not lying. I'm not, sleeping with my neighbor. I'm good there, Jesus. And then Jesus, the scripture says in verse 21, looking at the man, I love this. Jesus felt genuine love for him. Just like when he looks at you, he feels genuine love for you. He says, there's still one thing you haven't done. In other words, you're still right, sir. There's still one thing that's missing. There's still one thing you haven't done, he said. Go and sell your possessions and give your money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me. And then one of the most sobering scriptures. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. That's crazy. We think, how could he do that? Let's put us in the position. Jesus shows up to your door and says, sell it all, give it all away, get rid of it, and then follow me. The truth is, many times, we want everything God has to offer without giving anything up. I have been there. And maybe you're there, or maybe you've been there too. I talk to a lot of married people. I'm a married person. People want their marriage blessed. And God, I want you to bless my marriage. God, I want you to give me something in my marriage. But yet we don't want to sell out. And God, I want you to bless my marriage, but I'm still going to glance at pornography once in a while. God, I want you to bless my marriage, but I'm still going to maybe flirt a little bit at work or check out some Facebook profiles of exes or whatever it is. But I want you to bless this union. Or maybe single people, you want God to, bless me with that godly person, with that godly man or woman that loves you and trusts you, Lord. God, if you bless me with that person, then I will commit to serving. I'll be in church every week. I'll pray to you. I'll be in the word faithfully. If you'll just do that, Father, we put conditions on it. Or this one's personal for me. God bless my finances. God bless me. I want to be that person that has more than enough, God. And I say, God, if you will bless my, because I don't want to live paycheck to paycheck. I don't want to live like we got taxes that are due now. We got insurance that is due now. We got bills that are due. We got this broke down and that broke down. And God, once I get a few things paid off, then I'll give in a capacity. Then I'll help people maybe that are in need or have lost things dear to them. If you just help me here, then. But God showed me one day, he's like, Monty, if you won't trust me with what you have now, you'll never trust me with what you're given. It's what he showed me. That was me. That may not be your story. I'm just telling you, we want to buy in without selling out. And in the final series, in the final message of Going All In, I am convinced with all my heart that God is calling us to go all in, to sell out to him. I'll tell you what, the rich young ruler, he could say all day long, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I've obeyed you. But here's the reality. How you live reveals what you truly believe. Okay? And his decision that day to walk away from Jesus shined a spotlight on what he believed, didn't it? It shined a spotlight on it. You can't deny it. Like when I met Jody, I believe she's the one for me. And Jody, I'm sure you thought the same thing immediately. I know it. But so I believed it, but I have to believe it enough to do something about it. So I knew that if I believed that she's the one for me, I got first thing I do is got a ring, right? Got to get a ring. If you like it, then you better, So I got to get, so I did. She didn't know I was getting it, but I bought in. I got the ring, and it was beautiful, big, beautiful ring. You don't need to go check. Just trust me. Big and beautiful. But I did, and I had it all set up to make my belief action, man. I booked a trip to the most romantic spot. out there, Las Vegas. I know it's amazing, and plane tickets were $99, so you couldn't beat that. But I hid the ring in a bag. She didn't know, and I'm like, I'm just going to propose, you know, at the Venetian in the gondola where they take you and they sing. Oh, I don't know what they're singing, but they're singing to you, and that was the plan. And we get in the gondola, the boat or the canoe, whatever it is, and then another couple gets in with us. I'm like, this isn't part of the plan. You can't, you're not supposed to, this is supposed to be just us. So that was ruined. Then I'm like, oh no, the Bellagio with all the water and the shoot, it's beautiful. So we're at the Bellagio and it was perfect and it was nighttime. The problem is there was 3,000 other people right around, so that wasn't intimate. So I had to settle for the hotel room. I know it wasn't the most romantic, Jody. I had them bring up a bottle of champagne, you remember that, and just popped the question, overlooking the window and Circus and the other casinos. It was beautiful. Wasn't exactly Paris, France, but I tell you what, Paris, France doesn't have all-you-can-eat crab legs right after the proposal. So it was good, but we got to take the step. I got off track. So here's what I'm saying. I couldn't hold on to the ring. I couldn't hold on to the belief that, oh, she's the one for me, without proposing, without taking the next step. If you hear nothing else, hear this. If we hold out on God, if you hold out on God and I hold on to God, we're going to miss it. You will miss everything God wants to do in you, for you, and through you. I'll say it again. If you or I hold out today on what God has asked you to go all in at, you're going to miss it. You'll miss everything God has for you. Side note, it's not like the rich young ruler didn't believe in Jesus. He believed. It's not like the rich young ruler wasn't a good person. Like, when he said, I did all these commandments, Jesus didn't even refute it. Jesus didn't say, well, wait a minute. I mean, Jesus was like, yep, you did. I'm like, could he say that about you? Or me? I mean, as soon as Jesus asked me, how are you doing obeying the speed limit? I'm screwed. It's over. There's no hope. But this guy, he wanted salvation. He just didn't want to surrender. It's crazy. Eventually eventually the rich young ruler became the rich old ruler. Like, this was a true story. Jesus, two stories you heard today. One was a parable. Jesus is just telling a story, illustrating something, the kingdom of heaven. The second one was a true story. Jesus was in the story. The guy came to Jesus. How do I get to heaven? How do I get eternal life? A story that really happened. The guy was a real person. So eventually the rich young ruler becomes the rich old ruler. I can't help but think about him on his deathbed if he had the opportunity. And what he's thinking, I wonder what he's thinking with all the camels and all the boats and all the homes and all the cash and all the bags of gold and silver. None of it that's going with him. I wonder if two words just kept replaying in his mind. Follow me. Follow me. Follow. I wonder if he's thinking, why did I sell out for so little instead of going all in for so much? But we do it every day. We hold on. I wrote down, we hold on. You can follow the rules and not be following Jesus. You know that, right? The rich young ruler was following a lot of rules. We know the commandments. He was keeping them. He just wouldn't follow Jesus. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, not all of them, but a lot of them, the religious people, they're following the rules. They're in church. They're doing the right thing. Man, they're serving people in Elkhorn, and they're praying for them, and they're loving them. But they're just not following Jesus. You could do good things and not know God. You know that, right? And I think the church, what we've done as the church, we've allowed people to buy in without selling out. Like, we've created a consumer culture for years, not just recently, but for years. The first century Christians, why were they so radical? Well, they weren't just sitting and I mean, there were teachings. Jesus taught. Jesus was in the synagogue, so there were those moments. But then they got from the seats to the streets. And they were serving and they were pooling things and giving things away and just living on fire with nothing, but yet they had everything. And it was so different. And my heart for our church, I'm so grateful we're such a young church, that culture is still being created, that we understand that this isn't even church, this is a huddle, where we circle up and we get our marching orders from the Lord, and then we go out and we be the church. This is what this is today. This is what the Sunday morning is for Meadows anyway. What are you holding on to? The two stories, a man holds on to a bag of silver. Held on to it, right? So much so he hid it. He held on to it so much. Jesus calls him wicked. A man who has a lot of cash and a lot of bling holds on to it. Both with hands clenched. There's a parallel here. You can see it. And that man would walk away from everything, from Jesus. What am I holding on to? The Lord asked me this week. I think he's asking you as well. Where do we need to trust God in our lives? What decision, because that's where it begins, church, what decision do you need to make? See, we talk about God-given purpose all the time in our church. Oh, I have a God-given purpose, and you do. Oh, I was created on purpose for a purpose, and you were. But here's the thing about purpose. I'll give you another insight on purpose. Purpose isn't a destination. It's a decision. It is, I'll be more specific. Purpose isn't a destination. It's your next decision. That's your purpose. People wait so long. Oh, one day when I'm this. One day when I'm done with school. One day when your purpose starts now. It isn't one day. It is today. This is, oh my gosh. So Jennifer and her son Zane went all in one day when it comes to serving. Because we can hold on to a lot of things, right? We can hold on to our time. We can hold on to our schedule. We can hold on to our money. Yeah, you know, we can hold on to everything. And I appreciate her candor when she shares. I'm not, you know what? Do me a favor. Just check out the screen and watch this, will you?
We had been attending here for a while, probably almost 2 years, and I had been asking the Lord to serve almost since I came. I was very excited to serve and wanted to serve, and all of a sudden, the day arrived when Sunday Monty was talking, and I just knew, like, okay, go girl, you got the green light. So I just reached forward and grabbed the card and signed up super excitedly.
And I saw my mom pick out the card, and I thought that it was a good idea, and that if she did it, that we could both do it together.
My favorite thing about serving with Zane is that we're connected at school, because I work there and I get to see him, and then we're connected at home and with sports. But in church, we weren't connected, because we would come together and then he would head to kids' ministry. And now I love it, because every Sunday, first service, we're together. And so it just gives us another place to meet and feel vested in each other's lives.
It's made me really closer to God and, like, made me feel his presence, just make everybody happier by greeting them.
One of the rewards of serving is that in feeling more connected to people, there's greater accountability. And so your circle grows of people that you feel comfortable to say, hey, would you pray for me? I would share to ask the Lord when it's time, because you have to be in obedience to him. That's where your joy is and your peace is. It's a tremendous blessing.
Did you catch what she said at the very end? I wrote it down. You have to be obedient to him. That's where your joy is. That's something good for you. That's where your peace is. That's a blessing for you. In fact, then she says it. It's a tremendous blessing. Look up here. Doing anything but going all in for the Lord is cheating yourself out of God's purpose and plan for your life. Holding back the one chip or the one thing or the one whatever hurts you. Of course it hurts God, because it hurts you. If you want a definition, like Pastor, what do you, when you say going all in, just sum it up. Thank you for asking. Jesus summed it up in a scripture, two verses, Luke 9, 23 and 24. Jesus, what's it mean to go all in? Well, whoever wants to go all in, that I added that, but whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and do what? Wow, that's what he said to that one anyway. And follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, isn't that what the ruler wanted? I want to save my life. I want to be with you forever. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What do you need to lose? Is it your plan that you've had orchestrated and manipulated the whole time, but God's not really in the equation? It's totally your plan and not his? Maybe that's what you need to lose. Your pride? The biggest, there's a lot of different kinds of sins, but that's a biggie, because a lot of sin is connected to that. And it deceives us so, oh my gosh. Is it your pride you need to lose to gain the humility that you desperately need? You need to lose the secret. You need to lose the sin. You need to lose the addiction. You need to lose the selfishness. The greed. We can say we're all in. This is what I heard my pastor say one time. And as much as I hated it at the time, I couldn't get around it. He wasn't using the verbiage all in, but he was using whatever they were talking about for series. But going all in, if you really want to know where you're at, if you're all in, there's two big indicators: a calendar, your calendar, and your bank statement. Two of the biggest indicators of where our priorities lie. I would encourage you and me to look at them both and ask ourselves, where am I not all in? Where am I not investing my time, my talent, my treasure into the kingdom of God? I don't want to preach messages just to preach them. I don't. I want to preach messages to get us the word, put God's truth into us, and then allow the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. But I know the Holy Spirit wants to do something. The question is, will we do it alongside him? That's the big question. If you hold out on God, if I hold out on God, we will miss together everything he wants to do in us, for us, and through us. And I don't want you and I don't want me to sit on a deathbed if we even get that opportunity. Why would I sell out for so little instead of going all in for so much? But it happens all the time. I'm reading the stories about the storm and a lot of the people that lost a lot, houses. And you know, God is so good, and God is being glorified, which is great, but the loss is devastating, and I'm grateful I haven't heard of any fatalities that I know of, so I'm thanking God so much for that, and I'm thankful for a city and communities that can come together in prayer and love and action, so I'm thanking God for that, but so many of them are like, you know, we lost a lot, and we lost, well, everything when it comes to the possessions. But yet they're realizing they have so much when they have their family and they have their community and they have people that love them. Tragedy puts things in perspective. And many times it's the only thing that will prompt us to live outside of ourselves and quit doing what we normally do. This week, we had honors night for Ava. We're proud of her. This was a night for seniors at Papillion South to be recognized. The ones that got good grades, the ones that were good academically, and they got recognized. And so we were there, all the parents were there, and it was exciting. And it was cool because they would announce the kid, and they would announce their parents, and well, it was cool, and it wasn't. Because, I mean, it kind of made my heart flutter when they said, and Ava Gannon, and they hand her her little packet, honors packet, daughter of Jody and Monet Gannon. You're in the teaching realm, sir. What? That might be, maybe that's my French name. I don't know. So, Monet, I'm like, no. But what was cool is the kids would get their little thing, and they would share if they knew what their goals were. They're going to go here, and they're going to major in this. And the kids had such audacious things they wanted to do to make a difference. They're going to be astronauts, a couple of them. Physicists, scientists. One girl said a mad scientist. I thought to myself, we got plenty of those already. We try something else. So that's what she said. But all these big goals that they have. And I thought to myself, these kids want to do amazing things. Like big things. I love it. Entrepreneurs. Here's what I know about you. Even if I don't know you. I believe you want to do amazing things for God. But here's what I want to lovingly tell you. Doing amazing things for God isn't your job. It's His. See, your job and my job is to surrender all that we are and all that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do our job, I promise you, God will do His. He will. It's not about what you can offer. It's about what you surrender. This is the key. It's what they held on to. You saw it, didn't you? You ain't taking this. You're not taking this. I got to hold on to this. I've got too much of this. I can't. You're wicked and lazy. He didn't say it in a mean way. He said it in a loving way. You're missing it. You're going to miss it all. There are people here today, you're desperate for God. You're desperate for resurrection in an area or areas of your life. Here's what I want you to know. God can't resurrect what hasn't died. He can't resurrect what you don't give Him, what you don't offer to Him. If we're holding on to it, he can do nothing with it. And some of you, it's why people walk around half dead, half alive. Surrender. It's what He did for us. Don't you think if Jesus can hang on a cross, we can carry ours? Because that's exactly what He did. And if it hasn't got good yet, it's about to. Because Jesus Christ is so in love with you that He went to a cross for you. See, the reality is the rich young ruler didn't keep all the commandments. He was a sinner just like you and just like me. And because we sin, we separate ourselves from the Lord Jesus Christ. We separate ourselves from Him. And if you're separated from God, you're in trouble, and so am I. In fact, when you die, hell is our home because that's separation from God forever. So the rich young ruler, he knew something was missing. He knew it. And many of you do too. But some people, they can't put their finger on it. I'll tell you what's missing. It's this audacious connection to the Lord through Christ. Because your sin separates you. And those secrets and those addictions and those other worldly priorities that you keep holding on to and I keep holding on to, they hurt us. Jesus was heartbroken when that guy walked away. But He didn't go chase him. That's what I noticed. Jesus, why would you chase that guy? He just turned away from you. Aren't you going to chase him and make him say the sinner's prayer? Aren't you going to chase him and say, stop, stop? No. Jesus is like, I got work. I mean, I just told him. I mean, I've done what I can do. I'm not going to force you. I love you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. This is good news. So He goes to the cross and He dies on the cross for you. And I'll tell you, if that didn't happen, if Jesus doesn't die for you, there's no hope for you. Because the only thing that can take away your sin and my sin is a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. It goes way back to the beginning of time. It has to be a perfect sacrifice. And the only one who lived a perfect life was Jesus. So he sees you in your dysfunction. He sees you in your sin. He sees you in your filth. And he thinks, I love you so much. I will do whatever I can. I can't do it all because you have to participate in your salvation. And he goes to a cross and he dies on the cross. And I always say when Jesus was dead, all hope was lost that day. No one was thinking he's going to bounce back. But it's Jesus we're talking about. One of the seven core values of our church. In fact, the center value. And Jesus, this is what he does for you and for me. He dies on a cross to absolve us, to remove our sin if we receive it. And how do we know it's true? How do we know that you have that power? Jesus, how do we know that you are who you said you are? He said, I don't need to tell you. I'll show you. And that's exactly what he did. Because 3 days later, when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, she didn't expect nobody. I always say nobody expected nobody. But when Mary Magdalene got to the tomb, that's exactly what she saw. There was nobody because Jesus Christ had brought himself back to life. You should shout louder. I mean, what was dead is alive. What was bad is good. What was dark is light. And if Jesus can do that in you, or in him, he can do it in you. You're saved by God's grace through your faith. But the very thing that you hold on to will hold you back. And so many people pray prayers asking Jesus into their heart, but they never surrender anything. Well, there is no salvation without repentance. And repentance is saying, I don't want this. You can have this. I surrender. Many have prayed prayers, and prayer is powerful. I don't diminish that at all. But I prayed a salvation prayer 47 times, maybe more. It's a heart relationship with Jesus. Asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin, being heartbroken that you've separated yourself from him and from others, and you've hurt yourself and you've hurt others because of the way that you've acted and the way that you've talked. And you ask Jesus to forgive you, and if you want it, he'll do it. Anyone who calls on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Call on his name. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask him, tell him, confess what you've done. Ask him to cleanse you. The Holy Spirit to enter you. And if you want that, repentantly want that, he died to give it to you. That's how desperately he wants it in you. This is the gospel. So we've got some things we need to consider today. Because purpose isn't a destination, it's a decision. We've got serving opportunities in our community. We've got giving opportunities in our community. What decision will we make? We have an opportunity to hold on to what we've been holding on to. Your money, your time, your wants and your family and your plan. Or you can start allowing Jesus to take it. And start trusting him and watch what he does in your life. Stop holding back your chips. Stop holding on to what you think is best for you. You don't know what's best for you. He does. Go all in. And as for those of you that heard the gospel, which is all of you, if you have never, you might be talking about Jesus, but it's like you're doing good things, but you haven't surrendered to God. Some of you, you're in that boat. Today is the day you get out of that boat and you get with Jesus. Jesus, I don't want to do good things. I want to do God things. That means he has to be part of the equation. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. He's the only way. That's what he was telling the man. You've done all those commandments, but you don't know me. You follow me. I noticed Jesus didn't just say, well, believe who I am. You're good. He didn't say that. He said, follow me. There's a lot of people believing in Jesus, ain't following him nowhere. Meadows will be different, won't we? We'll surrender. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's not comfortable, but it's purpose-filled. It's not a good thing, it's a God thing. Oh, the Lord loves you. Father, over and over in your word, you give us blatant examples of your love. You talk to, or you give a parable of bags of silver and how you bless us and that you want us. You expect an investment on the investment. Help us trust you in areas we're not, Father. It could be our finances. It could be our sex life. It could be our relationships. It could be our work. It could be our marriage or our children. Help us trust you, not us. Help us lean not on our own understanding, but go all in on the one who understands all. People here in all different phases, stages, people that are lost, they don't know you, people that marginally maybe follow, but they're half in and they're half out. God, meet them where they're at. Holy Spirit, I'm begging you just to speak boldly and clearly to us. As we worship you through song, God, I pray that you continually speak to our church. As the prayer team comes up afterward, I pray it isn't, well, this is the prayer time. It's all prayer time. It's all talking to you. This isn't church time. This is our life of worship. Church doesn't begin here. Church begins when we leave. God, help us be the church to our brothers and sisters in West O. Help us love like you and live like you. What are we holding back? Will you show it to us? Help us go all in. Somebody here needs to start serving on a dream team. There's a table out in the Welcome Center just waiting for them to look at, to pray over, to sign up like Jennifer and her son. What kind of a legacy, God, is she leaving in her son's life? I wonder. Serving in the body of Christ, teaching your children to serve? I thank you for that. I thank you for the bride of Christ. We are a messy bunch at Meadows. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We're so screwed up, but we're still your bride, aren't we? You still love us with an everlasting love. And you've chosen us to be you to the world that doesn't know you. How will we do that today? Because purpose doesn't start at a destination. It starts at a decision. Father, may we decide to go all in for you. We love you. We thank you. Jesus, we are nothing without you. If the cross isn't empty, we're in trouble. If the tomb isn't empty, we're in trouble. Here's great news, church. They're both empty, which means the best, if we receive it, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church says, amen.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. But don't stop there. Like or subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video, update, or message. And not only that, share this message with a friend or somebody that you know. So many people out there need hope and encouragement, and you have the ability to bring that to them. Finally, if you're in the Omaha area, we would love to have you join us. We would love to meet you. God bless you.